Join me, Claire Lacey, on Color Story, the podcast that celebrates the wondrous influence of color on our lives. Today, we're about to embark on an exciting journey that's not only colorful, but also deeply transformative. In this captivating podcast episode, we're shining a spotlight on Volta Voloshin Smith, the creative founder of Color Snack, who brings an extraordinary burst of color to our exploration. Color Story isn't just about the beauty of hues, it's about the power they hold in shaping our experiences, emotions, and personal growth. Volta's interview is a testament to this vibrant world of color and creativity. Her journey is a living example of how color can be a catalyst for personal transformation. Volta is on a mission to help corporate teams feel more connected and productive through calming and creative workshops, designed to reduce stress and prevent burnout. Her signature workshop, Watercolor Meditation, combines soothing breathing techniques with the simplicity of brush marks, making it a game changer for those seeking inner peace amidst the chaos of the corporate world. Originally from Moldova, Volta's creative outlet has no bounds. She adds vibrancy to food through her enchanting illustrations and brings brands to life with live painting and memorable animations. Some of her notable clients include Home Depot, Meta, Michaels, Eataly, and many more. But that's not all. Volta is also a published author and the host of the Calm and Creative podcast, where she explores the profound benefits of art for mental health. She's not just an artist, she's a true advocate for wellness through creativity. So get ready, be inspired as we dive in to the colorful world of Volta Voloshin Smith and discover the transformative power of creativity right here on Color Story.
Welcome. Yay. Hi, Claire. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to see you and your background and even what you're wearing, that your designs are on it. I think that's rare these days that you can put everything you do out there this way.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm super grateful that we live in a world where you can work with different like on-demand printing companies that allow you to do that, because personally, I can't sew, can't make clothes, you know, but I love to paint art and like make art and then design it to go on a piece of clothing. So I think it's pretty wild that we can do that nowadays.
Yeah. And for those of you listening who can't see us, Volta is wearing some bright cherries that she illustrated with watercolor all over her cardigan.
Yeah.
And she also has a beautiful background of all this rainbow of produce and vegetables and fruits and watercolor illustrations. Yeah, very cool.
Thank you.
I want to eat your background.
It's nutritionally healthy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's good for you. Well, I want to know more about you and how you got into illustration with watercolor through and with the word color. What attracted you to that?
Yeah, so I started, I guess, going back to my childhood, which is where I was really, I feel like, influenced heavily by color. I grew up in Moldova, and it's a country like that used to be part of the USSR, and like in the post-Soviet Moldova, at the first few years of my life that I remember, I was exposed to cartoons that were very dull and kind of like they just lacked kind of the juiciness of color. And so with time, as like new like media from the West started coming in into like the former Soviet Union countries, and we started like, you know, getting access to these channels with cartoons, and I just remember like all of a sudden just being so enthralled with, oh my God, look at these beautiful colors. Like, what, these are cartoons that are, the colors are just so juicy, they like pop and you can just see them. And it was just such a like memorable kind of experience. And I would say that the cartoon, it's an actually a Japanese anime that like had a huge impact on me, is Sailor Moon. And I didn't always like realize how impactful it was until I started kind of diving into, and then maybe actually even rewatching the show, because I saw that it's all watercolor and it's all very colorful, like very kind of bright, vivid, lots of color. And it's just like, now I see why, you know, as a child, like I was 6 or 7 years old when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing.
That's so beautiful. And it's interesting what you're saying about living in Moldova, but you're being influenced by outside, Japanese art in the middle of something that's not at all Japanese.
It was such a cool experience to even like realize it, because it's I went from like dull cartoons to like, oh my God, look at these colors.
And do you think your mood shifted after seeing colors in a new way?
Yeah, I would definitely say that, because like now looking back on some of the like older cartoons, like they're nostalgic but also kind of sad looking because of that lack of color, I think. So I think, I mean, with like modern technology and everything, like obviously there are now, it's not just, you know, Japanese cartoons that are colorful, like pretty much every country can create those. So I think it's such an important part of like getting to experience art in that way, where it's very uplifting in the way of like colors do impact our moods, you know? So if we see something that's a little dull and sad, then we'll probably feel that way. I know I definitely do. So I just love how we can interact with colors and how they can change our moods.
Well, and I'm wondering, I know you said where you grew up. So the cartoons there were generally dull, but what about in the real world? Like the architecture, the interior decorating, the colors of foods, would there
Okay,
be brighter?
so that's an excellent question. Like the colors of foods, I would say, were also very colorful. As far as the architecture, I think it was kind of like a slow transition of like the types of like Western type of products that would come into the market. And which meant that, you know, more access to like colorful things. But I definitely like as a child, like I remember vividly like visiting my grandmother, and she had a beautiful garden. And like in the summers, like that was just such a treat to get to see all those like colorful berries and fruits and veggies that I would help her harvest. And then and that's kind of like the biggest influence that I had in my life, is that tactile experience with food that was so fresh and like from the garden, which is definitely why I love to do food illustrations, you know. And that connection also wasn't like super apparent to me right away. It's just like I felt it in my heart. I'm like, I'm drawn to food, but I don't know why. And I think it's just with time, is like the more I kind of explored and thought about it and kind of went back into like, well, where are my early influences in life? And it's like, oh, that makes sense. It checks out.
Ah, that's beautiful. It's funny you say that about gardening because I remember, as a kid helping my dad in the garden and just, one, not really enjoying it. But when I taste certain foods, it brings me back to that. Like specifically like sugar snap peas, just like going out and just like taking it and eating it immediately after picking it.
Oh, that's such a sweet like memory, core memory.
Well, yeah, and to me, I guess colors bring memories, not just like the taste or the smell. And I think, smell is usually like the number one memory, to bring you back to a memory of some other time. And so I guess, are there specific, like very specific colors that trigger anything for you?
The one color that I'm super drawn to is pink. If you can't tell, wearing pink glasses and most of my clothing is kind of in that scheme of pink. And that one is, I feel like it's probably stemming from my love of raspberries. So that, 'cause like I just another kind of like very tactile experience that I had collecting them and then seeing that beautiful color of pink, of like that fuchsia, super like vibrant and also delicious. So I feel like just whenever I see that color, it kind of makes me feel at home. And also I will say too, like the anime Sailor Moon has a lot of pink in it. It's very like colorful, but I would say pink is very prominent. So probably like seeing that as a younger child like helped me just fall in love with that color. So whenever I see it, it just like brightens up my mood, makes me happy.
Beautiful. That's a great color. Well, I'm wondering, now that you've been in the US for how many years?
Over 20 years.
Yeah, so a long time. Does it seem like an obvious shift to you in the use of color versus in Moldova and just everyday life, or do people think about color?
Like when it actually like took me a while to find my way back into art. So when I immigrated to the States, I would say like I didn't even like think about art or consider it, and because I was worried, I guess not worried, but preoccupied with assimilation and all the things that come with being an immigrant. And it took me a long time to kind of find my way back into like I actually really respond to art and color, and like I need more of that in my life. So not really sure if I answered your question.
No, I think that's fair. I think, we all view color in different ways, and I think being creative is like much more heightened, obviously.
So
But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm curious, when did you start picking up, watercolor, paintbrush, and experimenting in that outlet?
That started about maybe 8 or 9 years ago. So I was going to school full time and working full time. And actually like all my schooling and my kind of prior to being an artist, my professional background was in marketing and business. And I just kind of was trying to, follow a more traditional like career path. And especially with my parents encouraging me, they're like, we brought you here. Like, let's make sure you have a secure kind of future, because things were so uncertain in Moldova that was like kind of their wish for me. And for a while, like I, kind of followed along with that, but I knew something was missing. And so when I was in that very busy time period of my life, I just found randomly stumbled upon a set of watercolors. And I was just like, I'm gonna play. I'm just gonna explore. And I even like remember I was painting on like 3x5 note cards, which actually would not recommend with watercolors. It's not the right paper, but it didn't matter because like I still like had fun and enjoyed exploring and kind of getting back into that. That was kind of my gateway experience of like, oh, actually, I really miss that. And that like fulfilled that one kind of need that I needed to do something creative, outside of, thinking, of like more of like an analytical brain with all the like business school and like work and all that stuff.
Well, I think that's many things here are so wonderful. With the 3x5 cards, though, I think that's a great way to learn and fail quickly. It's like it's a small canvas and it's not that high of a cost for the material, and you can just be done with it or mail it to somebody if you don't want it.
I think it's so important whenever you're trying to do anything creative to keep it super small and bite-sized. And actually, the name of my company, Color Snack, it stems from that idea that it was created on the principle of sharing short tutorials, art tutorials with people, and they're like snacks of color, because it just takes like the intimidation factor out of it. Like if you have a blank a large piece of paper or, a large canvas, you're like, oh no, I'm gonna mess it up. And sometimes, in order to trick ourselves from thinking that way, we can just start really small and be like, this is just a piece of paper. You don't like it, you can throw it away. Like you're just experimenting here.
I think that's a great way to be approaching it and helping people see it as a less intimidating experiment.
Yeah, I'm super big on that because I think living a creative life, and no matter like what you're pursuing, you could still be, a doctor, a lawyer, but you could still benefit from doing something creative because it just helps us feel better, that interaction and playing with colors and kind of seeing what kind of different color mixes you can get. I think it's so fun and it can help us feel better. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, I think of that as like a color therapy.
Yes, I am a big fan of that.
Yeah. And when you're working with color, specifically watercolor, I guess, can you talk a little bit about the process? Are you keeping it, all tactile, physical, and then you sort of translate it to digital at some point to do some animation?
Absolutely. Yes, I love, I don't think digital art could ever replace the feeling that you get with just actually playing with colors and having that tactile experience. But because the nature of the world that we live in order to reach people and have my community, I'm sharing it online. So I definitely, will paint on paper, and then I have a very high resolution scanner. So it allows me to just scan my artwork, and then I'll remove the background, and then share it in a way that kind of is more accessible to people in that way. But I definitely don't think I could ever just be like, oh, I'll just draw on my iPad today and feel good. I mean, I think it's still great even if you don't like have art supplies. Any kind of creative activity is better than none. But personally, I'm just so like in love with watercolors that I have to see those. How the color bleeds into another, and like how those different like interactions happen, and when like you tilt your paper, like the water kind of helps the color travel. It's just, I think it's so beautiful.
And I think even just what you said, I think a lot of it is about like physics, science, and meditation. And
Yes.
that's something you've been working on too.
Yeah. So actually, I just recently launched a course called Watercolor Meditation, and it's literally all about like removing the idea that you have to necessarily like you're not focusing on the end product, but more so on the experience of playing with colors, playing with different brushstrokes, but you're also combining, like you're bringing in an element of breathing techniques. So taking those deep breaths in and out along with making your brush marks. It can have like such a beautiful, like meditative and like therapeutic experience that I just love sharing with everyone because it's so easy that you don't have to worry about that what the end product looks like because it's not about that.
That's beautiful. And I think that also lowers the bar for people
Yes.
to just experiment.
Yes, and it's like stress-free. I'm like such a huge proponent of removing that inner critic, or the stress of like, oh, it's got to be perfect. Like, let's leave that outside of the space, and this is like a safe space for creativity and exploration.
And I think it is even for, professionals like yourself or, me, even working with watercolor for fun. I love touching it and the tactile experience and watching it move in the way it does in unforeseen ways sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm still sometimes like paralyzed, like, oh no, I'm gonna ruin this piece of paper. So I like your approach to that. It's just like, it's okay. You can just have the experience.
Yeah, I think that's like the inner critic will probably always be there, but the more we show up and, instead of listening to what the inner critic is saying about, oh, you're gonna ruin this paper or you're not doing this right, if we just provide the evidence of like we're actually doing it, like we're not listening to you, go take a walk, inner critic. And the more we do that, the more we build that muscle of like, yeah, I can hear you, but also I'm gonna do my own thing, and just kind of helps with building that creative habit and creative practice.
Wonderful. And tell me more about how would you start one of these workshops with people to get them comfortable with experimenting with other colors that maybe they're afraid of?
That's a great question. I usually, so it depends. For I would say for the most part, I try to start it with a 5 minute kind of guided meditation where I just walk people through of like taking a couple of deep breaths in and out and just kind of getting into a more like calming mind space. And then I start them out with very simple watercolor techniques that are, just super, super basic, but just kind of get you a little bit more acquainted with the medium and how it reacts on paper. And then later on, I'll go into a very simple exercise that combines breathing with brush making. And then that's kind of just, it helps people to disconnect a little bit from, worrying like, am I doing this right? Because they have to pay attention to their breathing along with what's happening right in front of them. So I found that that is just like a very nice way to kind of help someone feel a little bit more comfortable with experimenting and trying on watercolors if they've ne never done it before.
I'm fascinated also, sort of, the perspective of Sailor Moon being an influence and meditation, which are, I would say, both Asian influences on the Western world. I think
That's a
that's
very great observation. I
a
yeah, that's yep, that's me.
nice.
I love it.
Well, this has been a beautiful, colorful conversation. I'm curious to know, for the people listening, to help them see the world in a more kaleidoscopic way, what would you advise them to do?
Ooh, honestly, I'd probably say go into nature, and just try to observe and just no judgment, but just try to pay attention to like what colors you see. Because I think it's, for one thing, like going into nature is so soothing and relaxing, but also it can be such a wonderful experience to see colors of the world, like all the shades of green, of blues that you see in the water, or the different flowers, especially if it's like springtime. Right now, I'm loving seeing all the wildflowers that are popping up outside. And I just think it's such a nice way to kind of take a moment and take that all in and like pay attention. It's also very mindful and meditative, if you're paying attention to the colors. And then you may never know like how that can inspire you in your life. Maybe you'll be like, oh, I love that shade of yellow. I'm gonna incorporate that into my space somehow. I don't know.
I love the way you talk about the spring flowers. It makes me think of like confetti popping up from the ground floor or something like
Oh, that is such a great way to like such a great analogy. I love it.
Well, something you said reminded me of shoot, I'm already losing my thoughts. But I just love the way you describe nature in that way. And for me, I like to call that also like color spotting or color chasing, where you're just walking
Oh,
around and just like, okay,
yeah.
I see this color. Oh, that color across the street. Oh, I wonder if anybody else noticed that that they're the same.
Yeah. Oh, I love the concept of color chasing. I think we should all incorporate that into our daily lives.
Yeah, and it's definitely a way to observe, and I guess you could say it'd be meditative or mindful in our surroundings and be creative in the same time. Well, do you have anything else you want to share with the listeners today?
I would say, just the kind of last thing I would want to encourage people to explore watercolors, just because I'm a little biased and I think it's such a soothing and relaxing medium if you let it, if you kind of try to dismiss that perfectionism that will come up. Because it comes up even for me, I've been doing it professionally for the past 5 years, and I still struggle with it. So it's really just a matter of treating it like a muscle. Like the more you do it, the easier it will be. So just want to encourage everyone to give watercolors a try.
Great. Well, and please tell everyone how can they find you to get in touch with you?
Oh yeah, thank you. So people can find me on Instagram. I am at colorsnack and my website is colorsnack.com. And I also hang out on LinkedIn where I'm Volta Voloshin Smith, or you can also find me by typing color snack.
Wonderful. Great. And I know you always have some great content coming up. I follow your newsletter so people can sign up for that.
Oh yeah,
And I
thank
know
you
you
so
have
much for
workshops
this.
coming up, so always be on the lookout for those and get some color snacks in.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Color Story. We hope you enjoyed this vibrant journey through the wondrous influence of color in our lives. And before we go, we'd like to leave you with a little piece of wisdom from our wonderful guest, Volta Voloshin Smith. She reminded us that using a small piece of paper is a great way to learn and fail quickly, taking the intimidation factor out of the creative process. Just like Color Snack, keeping things small and bite-sized, offering us those delicious snacks of color that brighten our lives. Remember, it's okay to start small, experiment, and savor every brushstroke of life's vibrant palette. We'll be back with more inspiring stories and colorful adventures on the next episode of Color Story. Until then, keep painting your own masterpiece of life with all the colors you can find.